This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
REI Co-op presents a perfect outdoor moment with the perfect gift. Picture this, you're ripping with your favorite person. Bluebird skies, blower powder, and frankly, you're skiing like legends.
So sick. Another lap?
Thanks to REI's curation, from lid to sticks, you nailed the gift.
No way. How'd you know?
Does it get more perfect than that? Give without guessing. Shop in store or visit REI.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
get ready. Check this out.
Put your hands up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Chris Paul, is this the worst retirement tour in the history of retirement tours?
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Andrew Santino, senior NBA reporter Brian Wintour, still to come. NFL Executive Vice President of Media Distributions, Hans Schroeder. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a chat with us. We got a ton of time for you here in this hour here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and of course, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM Channel 80. Brian Windhorst was just awesome in hour number two. He always is talking always. About what's going on in the NBA with Giannis and Chris Paul. Hour number one, we've just been chopping up tonight's Thursday night game. Our buddy Andrew Santino stopped by. Please, if you're in Southern California, certainly I'm talking to those who listen to us on ESPN Radio 710 here in Los Angeles. From 12:30 to 4 at Los Angeles Valley College this very weekend. Come hang out. Ho-Ho Homers with Andrew Santino and his comedian buddies. Kreischer and Bill Burr is going to stop by, among others. And every dollar raised out there, home run derby, a lot of fun going down and golfing and what have you in support of Special Olympics Southern California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. One of the top executives in the National Football League, NFL Executive Vice President for Media Distribution, Hans Schroeder, is going to join us to talk about all those ratings that we saw on Thanksgiving and what's going on for the future of broadcasting in the National Football League as well. And he's going to join us shortly on the program in the middle of this hour. Higher Register is going to be joining our program later on. Higher Register is, as always, you got to go higher in order to believe what you think.
I can't wait for that segment.
That's a good one right there. Phone lines are all lit. Good Lord, do I love that. Let's go to Andrew in State College, Pennsylvania.
Oh, 814. What's up,
though? Andrew?
Hey, Rich, it's an honor. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing fine.
What's up, man?
Andrew, it's great. Are you going to give us the exclusive that you're the next head coach of Penn State football? Is that what we got? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. Me and my head dog are going to take our talents up to State College.
I'm just kidding. What's the name of your dog?
Zeus.
Okay.
That was awesome. Thank you.
We just did it.
So, real quick, from someone who's inside of this, and deeply loves Penn State. There's a couple of things I just kind of want to lay out as we're getting ready to hit probably the end of the fiscal year before we get a head coach. But at this point, the whole point of this operation was to have something in store. It didn't have to be immediately, but something within the short term.
That's why you fire a coach in the middle of the season, is you're getting a head start.
Right. It's like quitting a job and not having something lined up after that. Yeah, you know what dumb. I mean? So I respect the effort that he put in, but I'm confused as in terms of where the logic lies in between the lines.
Well, you're not alone.
And from someone that comes from State College and someone who's pretty much devastated, just like everyone else, I think I could speak for the community of Penn State in that regard. You know, the option is simple. The option has been simple, you know, in my opinion, since the end of that Iowa game. You at least have to give Terry Smith a shot. And Terry Smith is just, you know, this reminds me of so much when Dan Campbell went to Detroit. Dan Campbell's the kind of guy that would literally coach that program for free. Terry Smith, if you go back and you watch Pat Kraft's interview on the 13th of October, talking about someone who embodies Penn State, someone who's an elite motivator, and someone who can recruit well, especially in a really tough area in central Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the list, and I'm looking at Terry Smith. We're just confused, man. And my message is, I love you guys.
Thank you. I love
Penn State. We are forever. And I just really wanted to get your thoughts on this, man.
Well, my thoughts on it is it's totally shocking that nobody's taken the gig. And when you fire somebody, you know, in the middle of the season, you open up the top right drawer and you have a bunch of names of people that you would target. The only thing is, I don't think in a million years did they think they would be targeting anybody for James Franklin's firing in the middle of the season. But Terry Smith has done a credible job. There's no question about it. And he wants the gig. He's a former player, you know, and I just don't know how well you're going to do early on, certainly, with a guy who's clearly, like, what letter in the alphabet? He's choice M, you know? I mean, he's choice P, S, and U.
I don't think he minds that, though.
Well, he won't mind it because he's, at the end of the day, the head coach of Penn State football, which is all that will matter to him, and he'll get to work and he'll roll his sleeves up. And thanks for the call, Andrew, is that he's going to have to do that because we're already in the early signing period. And, you know, James, do you see how many new Hokies there are that James Franklin is quite familiar with from his Penn State days?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but as a Michigan fan, I will say this, you know, collectively, the coaches that they've reached out to have said, we are not taking the job.
That's so rude.
Okay.
That is so rude.
Nobody's mentioned Brian Daboll for that gig.
Except us and a lot of other people, I guess, but I don't know. Because that would be a pretty...
It'd be a home run.
Well, I mean, last time they reached into the NFL coaching ranks, Bob went up there and turned things around in a much more strident environment.
Yes.
Different things going on.
Yeah, that's for sure.
This also reminds me, talking about the Penn State job, still being open, we haven't talked about Lane Kiffin on this program.
Man.
We got to make it 4 days in a row, right?
We're obligated.
Well, I mean, it's something that's constantly happening. Something's going on. Let me get this program correct here. The athletic director, Keith Carter, or as he's known on the website, I wrote it down here, Ole Miss's website, the vice chancellor for intercollegiate athletics. What a fancy title for athletic director.
That's a great title.
You know what? Would you mind if you referred to me as the chancellor of the Rich Eisen Show from now on?
And
I give you guys vice chancellor titles?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Pardon me, Chancellor Eisen.
Did somebody go up to Keith Carter and say, would you like to be known as the vice chancellor around here? Please.
Intercollegiate.
That'd be great.
I like that.
Yeah, he's a director of athletics of more than just football. It's intercollegiate. At any rate, he was on with Richard Cross on Super Talk Mississippi, everybody.
Yes.
He spoke. Pete Golding, as you know, the new head coach. They just basically said, we're not having a coaching search. Lane, you're out. Pete, you're in. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have hopefully a reaction to your hiring in the same way that LSU's previous hire left for Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman, who is, you know, hailed as a conquering hero when he walked in the door. And I love using Michigan analogies and phrases in reference to Notre Dame.
Of course.
But at any rate, I digress. He was asked about Lane talking as being so surprised that he was not able to coach the team after he was leaving for LSU. This is what the vice chancellor of intercollegiate athletics had to say about that characterization.
There's been a lot of things he said publicly that I'm not sure are totally accurate. You know, I think that both coach and his representation knew, you know, several weeks ago that the coaching in the playoffs was not going to be an option if he was not the Ole Miss head coach. And, you know,
finding out at 8:30 on Sunday morning for the very first time that he would not be coaching the playoff is not accurate?
No, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. The only thing that was a little bit of a wrinkle in it, Richard, was the fact that if Auburn had beaten Alabama, we were going to play in the SEC championship. That threw a little wrinkle in it, not to say he would have coached in that game, but with the shorter time period, that was maybe the only little nuance to it. But absolutely, it was very clear that, you know, coaching in the postseason was not going to be an option for Coach Kiffin, you know, a few weeks ago.
Could you imagine if Auburn had beaten Alabama? Right?
This would still be going on.
Well, Kellen DeBoer might not be the head coach of Alabama.
That's true.
And if that happens, anyway, by the way, regardless, that's one of the things I just love seeing online. All these people are like, if Alabama's job comes open, Lane might not coach a single game for LSU.
Right.
Ink is just dry. What's that buyout? 80%? It's not 100%. It's 80%?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't bought the house yet. You want to pay my mortgage in Oxford?
Well, LSU pay for my old house and then my house I didn't move into in LSU and then my new one in.
And have you seen all the Ole Miss players that have been tweeting out? Yeah, Lane, your statement isn't accurate.
Yeah, we were.
Suntareen Perkins, the linebacker there in Ole Miss. That was not the message you said in the meeting room. Everybody that was there can vouch for this about,
ouch,
you know, wanting to stay and all that. Oh, well, whatever. It's just, it's ugly. And at some point, Pete Golding's Ole Miss is going to get out there on a field in a winner go home college football playoff game later on this month. It's going to happen. All right. With Lane's next offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., coordinating that offense. It's going to happen. We're going to see what happens. And then at some point, Lane is going to bring his LSU Tigers or Crimson Tide into, wait a minute. No, he's going to bring his LSU Tigers into Oxford next year. It's going to be on. The lead up to that game is going to be intense. We're all going to be talking about it. Those are the only facts that I think are without dispute by everybody. At the end of the day, that's going to happen. And I can't wait for it. It's going to be fun. We're going to find out who Ole Miss is going to play on Sunday night. Who's it going to be? Then there'll be recriminations if BYU wins. One of many coaches that told Penn State, no thanks. And he's going to be sitting there, Pete Golding, finding out who it is, and we're going to be arguing, should BYU
or Alabama or Notre Dame, Miami,
yada, 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 yada. And I know Michigan's not one of them. Trust me, I wish they were. But it's not. Oh, and the whole Lane Kiffin thing, being hired by LSU, was brought up to Joe Burrow. And Joe is just the greatest, man. I just love his reaction's great. Susie sent this one to me. I didn't see this one until she sent it to me this morning. And I'm like, okay, this has got to get in the rundown. Burrow was asked about it. Let's not forget. Okay, Joe is a little busy. All right. And as you know, LSU is a spot that allowed him to become Joe Burrow, the place that it initially took him. Told him to beat it. In a way. Keep this in mind, sitting there now in the state of Ohio, where everything did start for him, as the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals asked about the Lane Kiffin hiring at LSU.
I think he's a good coach. I guess we'll see how it goes. Those are my thoughts.
Did Lane ever recruit you at any point in time?
No.
Could you imagine playing in college football playoff or getting ready to and your coach leaving?
Is Ole Miss going to make the playoff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly not an ideal situation. But does the rest of the staff stay or do they go too?
I I think you let the OC loose to go back and be a play caller.
Yeah, certainly not an ideal situation for a playoff run, that's for sure.
Here you go. Okay, so now.
Okay.
That first look.
The first look, yeah. First of all, Lane was being left on a tarmac out here in Southern California when Joe was being recruited. So I don't, unless he was asking this kid from Athens to come out to Southern California. I looked it up. You don't have to
you
look
did?
It up.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So, and then in his senior year is when Lane wound up being the OC at Alabama. Oh, okay. When Ohio State took him.
Interesting.
And then, as you know, he's still... Joe, as you know, associates himself with Ohio State just as much as LSU. And I like having fun at the expense of that he had to go somewhere else. But he does love Ohio State football.
He's an Joe, Ohio
he talks about
Ohio
it all
kid.
The time.
Hey,
listen,
kid.
And plus, also, having no idea what's going on with Lane Kiffin. No idea. There is Ole Miss making the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, wait a minute. Right. What's happening that everyone else is talking about?
Not
you know what I'm thinking when I hear that?
He's in his playbook.
He's in his bag, is what I'm saying.
He ain't got time for nothing.
He's got no time for watching television. No. This show, First Take, Get Up, all of them. Pat, he's not watching it because how else would he not? He doesn't know Ole Miss is making the college football playoff. That's the whole point. About Lane leaving for his school.
Awesome all year.
That shows me he's locked in and the Bengals season is not over. Joe has no idea he's carrying the water for me right now.
None.
God, I love this guy. And I just love his facial expressions.
Yeah, I like that too.
I'm Joe Burrow. I'm quarterbacking the Cincinnati Bengals.
Got time for that.
I don't have time for this.
He's thinking about what he wants to say, though.
He's always sitting there like, because he knows if I say this, it's going to come across. Wait a minute. What are they saying? Ole Miss is making the playoffs? Oh, and so, see, coaching the team? Who's coaching the team?
And can he take the assistants?
Oh, God, it's so great. Because we're so hyper-aware and sensitive. You know who's not?
Joe Burr.
Coming to Western New York to take on the Bills. For the surging Cincinnati Bengals.
Not out of it, Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, look at that. He's bringing his coat. He's putting his hands through his hair. And he is just dominating every facet.
He looks like an Abercrombie model from the
Bro.
He really does.
I think it is just terrific because he's locked in.
Abercrombie always smelled good.
What? You know that microphone's on, right?
It did always smell good.
You remember going in Abercrombie in the 90s? It always smelled good.
No, I don't remember going in Abercrombie in the 90s. All right. No.
You know what else smelled good? Banana Republic's always smelled good.
Dude, you know what I was doing in the 90s? I was chasing stories in Staten Island, New York.
You were chasing something.
Definitely stories. Stories. What's the matter with you people? You know where there wasn't, there wasn't an Abercrombie in Staten Island or Redding, California. No, or
what?
Bristol, Connecticut.
I thought you were part of New York. How do you not have an Abercrombie in Staten Island?
What was the mall in Staten Island?
Oh, it's a Staten Island mall, famous
definitely
mall.
Definitely was.
But you know what you were smelling in the Staten Island mall when you walked outside? The world's largest garbage dump. Guys.
Pretzels?
Guys. The world's largest garbage dump, the Fresh Kills landfill, where every single New Yorker dumped their friggin' trash. Okay? Let's put it on a barge. Let's put it all the way across and dump it.
The Sam McCrombie stinks.
Dude, it was terrible. And you know what was there, too? The first ever Staten Island multiplex movie theater and a racquetball court called the Court of Appeals.
Shut up.
Yes. The logo was Ben Franklin with a racquetball racket in his hand. I'll never forget it. You'd walk out in a full-on sweat after playing racquetball or after watching a movie or shopping in the mall, and you'd be like, it stinks. Thank God they closed that place.
You have a Chuck E. Cheeser?
I don't know.
There's a lot.
I was even shopping at Abercrombie, and what would stink would be somebody's banana peel from the Bronx from 3 weeks ago.
It closed in 2001.
Damn straight it did.
Where they dump the trash now?
I don't care. You know why? Because I'm paying attention to Joe Burrow in the same way Joe Burrow is.
Paying attention to Cincinnati.
There's no other headlines for me. God bless Joe Burrow. You go win and make me right, Joe.
Make me right, Joe.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about Joe Burrow beating the Ravens in front of, wait for it, 28.4 million viewers on Thanksgiving night.
That's almost good.
The NFL EVP of Media Distribution, Hans Schroeder, is about to join us. He's zooming in right now. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Guys, sit up straight. NFL management's about to join us here, okay? Clean up your workspace. Let me get mine ready. Hold on a minute. Joining us here is none other than the executive vice president of the National Football League in charge of media distribution, Hans Schroeder. Good to see you, Hans. How are you?
Hey. What's up, Hans? Great to see you, Rich and crew, and hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving, and thanks for having me on.
Come
great
on, man.
To be with you.
I'm sure you did. Were you anywhere? Were you home with the fam watching like the rest of America? Like, where were you?
We were home hosting about 18 people for Thanksgiving, our three St. Bernards. It was a full house. Everybody watching football, including the pups. So, we had an incredible Thanksgiving weekend. It was the epitome of what Coach Madden said about, food, family, and football being all together.
Hans, you've got three St. Bernards. What are you doing when you're not executive vice president and you're mountain rescue? What are you doing? What is this?
They're keeping the streets of Rye safe, Rich. It's Rye, New York, the tough streets
of Rye.
Saving us.
The mean streets of Rye. If you're stuck in the snow, knock on the Schroeder's front door and ask for St. Bernard help. I love that, man. That is fantastic.
I will tell you that they're big NFL viewers, though. They're with me every Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday fantastic. Night. They're on the couch with me watching. So,
brother, I'm telling you, like everyone else, did these numbers even surprise you, Hans?
Look, it was starting just quickly. The season's been incredible today. We're right. up 6%. I think we're pacing to be, if not our highest viewed, right now we're sitting behind that 2015 high water mark. So it's been an incredible season overall to date. And, as we went into Thanksgiving, we've had three straight years going into this year of just more and more viewership on Thanksgiving Day. And, this year we had a ton of great matchups and some really fun ones with the NFC East, playing the NFC North, with the AFC North playing the NFC North. And we looked at those matchups when we did the schedule last spring and we said, let's really look at some of these windows that stand apart, whether it's kickoff or Thanksgiving, and let's see how high up can be here. And look, I think we thought there was a lot of opportunity. We thought, there was audience there that fully hadn't been captured before. But, even to get to the levels of 57 plus million for that game in Dallas or 40, almost 48 in Detroit, we're talking levels of championship games. And so that was incredible to see. And I think reinforcing to us about, let's continue to push here. Let's see where our fans are and how we best serve them. So what an incredible day. And finished NBC at their highest game ever Thursday night, too. So just an awesome Thanksgiving all around.
And I love the Madden stuff, too, Hans, I love what a great idea that was. It's 4 years now and counting, and it's just great nostalgia for people my age or even a little bit older, and some maybe even younger. And for me to turn to my kids as we're watching, I'm like, yeah, that video game guy. No. Sit down and take a look. About what he is as well or was. It's pretty cool.
And Richard. It's such a great point. And I'm in that same sort of age group and you just think about how special Coach Madden was and how many people he brought into football, but on Thanksgiving and that unique day. And the cool part is he worked for all of our partners at one point in time.
That's right.
He literally, and so, it's an idea to give credit where credit's due. I think Pete Abatante and some of the folks at the league, Roger and the commissioner says how can we push and celebrate Coach here, but our partners have really jumped on board there. And and what really brings that to life in the best way is what they do authentically with his presence, with his history on Thanksgiving. And to me, that was really magical how they did that across all three games on Thursday with the tribute from Coach's presence on each of their networks.
That's right. That all three of them have video of him in their booths. you know, CBS, Fox, and NBC. And I just loved, I mentioned it the other day on the show here, Jason Garrett's stories that he was able to share, including that menu from a dinner that he was having with Madden, talking about Derek Jeter's famous flip play in a playoff game, and him saying, you know, you just choose Jeter first and then decide what sport you're playing next. And then they had a draft of other athletes in that regard. Yeah. And then he had the menu of the writing down of his team and Madden's team in that. You know, you can't beat it. That was great.
So cool. The keeping of the turkey leg was a bit interesting and how long that stayed in his freezer.
I wonder, because
he and Brill need to go to that freezer a little bit more.
I want him to open it up just to see what does a 30-year-old frozen turkey leg administered post-game to him by John Madden. What does that look like?
Although, it's a keeper. You know, everybody fights over the leg, right? He kept the leg right here.
I love that. Hans Schroeder here, the NFL EVP of media distribution here. On the Rich Eisen Show after a monster weekend for the Thanksgiving weekend and season for the ratings and partners of the National Football League here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let me hit you on a few other subject matters that I'm sure are on your plate. I'm sure you're asked about it a lot. The International Series, you know, I've been calling a few of these games. Where do we go from where it currently is? Are we looking to have a full season of international games that you're now going to sell off to another partner potentially? Is that the idea here, Hans?
Look, I think the idea starts with just continuing to grow the game. And we think there's so much opportunity ahead of us. We're going to have flag football in the Olympics in 28 and hopefully Brisbane after that. But you, Rich, maybe even better than me, you're there. You're part of it every year. You've seen the games, whether in London or whether in Germany or this past year in Sao Paulo. And that excitement and the energy and what we see in each of those markets where we take our games, you know, for us, that's only reinforced the view of there's more opportunity out there. And we think, and certainly I believe, it's the greatest game there is. And so the more opportunity to bring that to more people around the world, we think that's a good thing. I think we definitely know we're excited. We'll be back in Brazil next year in Rio. We're also going to be back in Australia, which is a super fun way to start the year in Melbourne. With week one, and I think we're working on the rest of the schedule and where else we'll be around the globe, but I think you'll see that continue to grow. The commissioner's been pretty public about his view that there's an opportunity to play more games, so need a little bit more time to lock in that schedule next year. Hopefully you'll be part of it.
Sure,
in some way, shape, or form, because you do such a great job with
those games.
But I think we're just still on the tip of the iceberg. And look, we're always sensitive. We know we're taking those games and sometimes out of home markets, but you know, it's an awesome thing to see some of those clubs be celebrated in those different markets around the world. And again, we just think there's a lot more there ahead of us.
No, I hear you. I mean, you're meeting fans where they are. I see it, you know, and again, the games in Germany, for instance, it's not people who sound like us. They're legit locals that are going to this game that might have fallen in love with it from the NFL Europe days. I've met a few Hanses and Schroeders, you know, I have met them, but it's for real. And there's, you know, the NBA shouldn't be one of the only sports that actually sells itself abroad from the United States. And the NFL does have fans where they meet them. And I'll tell you, I do speak to friends of mine who love the four windows of football. They just love, you know, that fourth morning window of football. And certainly it's a little bit early out here in Los Angeles, but it's awesome. And for those of us who work at NFL Network, it's great to see games on our air as well. You know, the question is, are you hearing from partners of the NFL saying, we want to get in on this, so let's get more of these games as fourth window and we'll take a package from you?
Absolutely.
Are you
hearing that? And you hit it on a great point. The NFL Network, I think we're up over 30% this year with those 9:30 windows. They've had six games in that time slot. And look, I think certainly we have a lot of considerations there with West Coast fans for West Coast teams. But, you know, we look at that 9:30 window. It's an incremental way to just give fans more football on a Sunday, which we think is exciting. It's also internationally, it's in a time slot that gets games into a really attractive viewing period in Europe, also reaches parts of Asia in primetime on Sunday, where some of our other games don't do that. So as we think about engaging the world, we really thought that 9:30 slot and believe that 9:30 slot's becoming more and more you know, embraced by our fan base and excited that there's just more football on those Sundays. And so, you know, we definitely think it's something we're going to build on. We've certainly had other partners ask about it. We think NFL Network has done a great job building it. So, you know, we'll see where the future goes, but I think, you know, we're here to stay at 9:30 and there's probably going to be more of them in the future.
Well, I mean, again, speaking on behalf of all of my colleagues and yours as well, you know, at NFL Network, we love it. It's great. And, you know, and obviously we love being NFL Network as well. So if you don't mind me asking here, what's the future for NFL Network that you can share with me and everyone else? I know this is sort of the internal stuff that we talk about on our team meetings and things like that. Where do things stand on that front, on the media?
Well, we announced, you know, the partnership with ESPN back in August, and I think we've been working hard and continuing in advance through that process. Look, for me, and having been around, you know, I started my career at the NFL in 2001. One of the first things I did in 2003 was work and help develop the business plan and be part of the team that launched NFL Network. Saw you come on board and many, many others working with Steve Bornstein and team.
Yes. So
it's been amazing to see the ride, but the media landscape continues to change. And so one of the real exciting things to me about this partnership is it's going to find a home for NFL Network for the future that's going to make it stronger. It's going to make it stronger for the network. It's going to make it stronger for the fans and football fans everywhere. When you think about what ESPN can bring and add to the network with all their production capabilities, all their infrastructure, what they invest in football and what they'll continue to invest and grow from a football fan perspective, we think it's only going to make networks stronger, more programming, more distribution in the future, including on ESPN Unlimited. So I'm pretty excited about how the journey of the NFL Network has continued through different phases. And I think the next chapter ahead with ESPN is a really exciting one.
That's
so a lot of work to get there, but hopefully it's, you know, as the landscape changes around us, this is a way to sort of have a bigger and better future for NFL Network.
Well, listen, I've mentioned this to you off air. I'll say it here on air. Obviously, I echo that sentiment as somebody who's finishing this show on Disney Plus and ESPN app and ESPN Radio today, and then doing it on Friday and then doing game day morning for NFL Network on Sunday. I'm kind of standing in the middle of waiting. Is there, you know, I understand this is like Fight Club. Do we know when T's are crossed and I's dotted this? What do you think?
We're still working through the process, Rich. So nothing more I can really add or share there. But,
sure.
You know, we're hard at it and on both ends. And we're going to stay at it. And again, we think there's a great day ahead for both NFL Network and ESPN. But you're right. You're at this interesting place. You can see into both worlds and hopefully see why we think that vision of how it can come together is such a great one.
I live it every day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm serious. I'm not just saying that because we're on live Disney, you know, air right now. But I do live it every day. And in terms of that, I love living it every day. You know, my contract's up next year, Hans. I'm going to send you a term sheet. I'm going to cross Lane Kiffin's name out and just put my name in and sign it, send it to you. Just send it back to me whenever you want. Okay.
And it'll be interesting to see who you take with you too, Rich. Like, you know, that's
I'm not going anywhere. Right? No. Forget about the leaving stuff. This is the staying. You know, it's and there'll be some numbers on it. I'm not aware of what they are. You know, I don't know what they are. I've just heard they're good. I'm just going to send it to you. Just again, it's Rich Lane, same number of letters. Just going to cross it out. Kiffin's a little longer than Eisen. It might be a little bit different, but just I'll sign it. You send it back, and then we're good, right?
There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
It's done. This is binding, guys. This is that's binding.
Right. Well, you know,
I heard it.
Feller is, you know,
this is binding.
He's
you know, my audio executive who was working the board over there. He says he was a notary. So right. you are now, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Got you.
Official.
See, there we go.
Hans ain't buying it.
All right. Very good. And the Super Bowl in Santa Clara, once again, Super Bowl 60. That's going down. Any idea when are we going to hear more cities named? Where are we on that for down the road for future Super Bowls, Hans?
Anything you know, Peter that you can O'Reilly share? And team are hard working at that, Rich. Okay. And obviously, there's a ton of interest. And you know, everywhere we go, that's another area. You know, you talk about the viewership. and how that is, just continues to grow on Thanksgiving. How that?
Yeah, what's that number looking like? What, give me a number. What do you think for Super Bowl 60 based on these numbers, right? I know you don't want to talk. That's Fight Club. I know you don't want to talk about that. We're putting anything in the ether.
I just think to your question, like the Super Bowl, they, regardless of where it is, they continue to make it bigger, better, you know, and you see that certainly how it comes to life when you're in a city over those weekends. But you also see that for our fans and how it comes to life with our partners. So, you know, nothing to share there, but
okay.
I hopefully we're excited about sort of the opportunities in the cities that we have ahead of us with Super Bowl. You know, it's a great selection, a lot of interest, and I think that'll be great. You know, as we look out where we're going to be.
Yeah, let me know however I can help hosting here in Los Angeles next year. You know, my house is yours, Hans, as you know, always.
Thank you, Rich. That's very kind of you.
Who's that photograph of over your left shoulder? Who is that? Who's that person?
That is my father.
No kidding.
That's back in the in sort of 1962. He was a coach, young coach at West Point, where he, you know, soon worked with Bill Parcells and, you know, a bunch of Bill Battle and Ken Hatfield, and was sort of a cradle of coaches in the early 60s in West Point. And so I just thought that was a special one. One of our partners sent me that a few years ago, and it's, you know, he passed a few years ago actually on Super Bowl morning, but it was something I, you know, wanted his presence. And, you know, he obviously was so formulative in shaping my love for the sport and playing the sport and otherwise. So a great way to sort of remember Dad every day.
Football is family, right? That's what we always say. Hans, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate you, you know, coming on here. Anytime. Anytime.
Thanks, buddy. Anytime, man. Stay well. Have a great holiday season.
We will.
Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And thanks for having me, Rich.
You got it, man. I'll see you on game day morning, Sunday morning, all 4 hours.
Yes, you will.
I will be there. That's Hans Schroeder, thanks, everybody. NFL Executive Vice President of Media Distribution right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I expect a ratings boost just from that. Millions.
I wonder if the dogs travel with Hans.
St. Bernards do not travel, my man.
Three St. Bernards.
Three of them.
That'd be kind of awesome.
That's a lot of dogs.
Three of them.
It's going to be a big couch.
I think you might have to ask the ultimate boss for a lift to make that all work. And I don't mean a car.
Oh, no.
Do you think the term sheet's going to get signed?
Absolutely not.
You think?
No. The notary seal will not be official.
Yeah, because it wasn't on actual paper.
So that entire conversation is like the yellow line on the screen.
It's not official.
Not official.
So you're saying?
Unofficial.
All right. Cross it out.
Good try.
Cross out Lane Kiffin. Just scroll in.
Go for it.
Rich Eisen and see how it works.
I mean, was Hans inviting you to Australia next year?
I took it that way.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I picked up.
I'll put a shrimp on that Barbie.
No.
I don't know who you people are anymore.
That's what happens, Chris. People get, you know, they get success and then they forget.
So
right?
Cold.
They forget
or I should have said as I throw the break, sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Sure, you guys can come. That sounds great.
Thank you.
Let me work on that.
Give us that 17% Dallas Cowboy chance.
Yeah, roll your break. Yeah, it'll be great.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. Bert in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Bert.
Is definitely not Breer here on The Rich Eisen Show. Been hanging on for almost 3 hours. What's up, Bert?
What's going on, Rich? How are you today?
You tell me what's going on there, Bert. What's happening there?
So, long-time listener, first-time caller. I can't thank you enough as
thank
a fellow
you.
New Yorker, a fellow Los Angelino, and a Michigan man for your work over the years.
Damn! Look at all of us. We're all part of the same world. Fantastic.
With that being said, we both root for extremely struggling franchises. I root for the Raiders. And look, as a Michigan man, I hope this does not happen.
Okay,
but Notre Dame makes the playoff, and they win a national title.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that makes Marcus Freeman think a little bit more about the NFL?
Oh, I see what you're saying. That if Freeman accomplishes a mission in Notre Dame, it'll make him more, you know, apt to take a job in the NFL. Is what you're saying?
Correct.
All right. Interesting. I can't speak for him. But Regardless, he doesn't have to win a damn thing for the NFL to be falling all over themselves for this guy. Every year, by the way. I mean, every possible year. And thanks for the call, Bert. I appreciate your sentiments, and I'll share in the same background. You know, and I love how he's like, heaven forbid Notre Dame wins it all. But you remember last year, like, I told him and I told Riley Leonard, this guy is too nice. I want to root against him for being the Notre Dame guy.
Yeah, I know, right?
Certainly since he played for Ohio State as well, I should hate his guts. It's the exact opposite.
Can't do it.
I think the Giants would fall all over themselves, and any NFL team would fall all over themselves to get him in a meeting room and see if they could convince him.
Any NFL team with an opening this offseason will be interviewing.
I just don't even know if he would take the meetings. But again, the reason why I'd get out of college is you're just, and go to the pros, go where they actually have rules. and
bingo.
You're in a spot where the rules keep changing. And the rules are even changing about what we're applying to the standard of who makes the playoffs or not. And he's in the middle of all that right now. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Thursday. It's time for Higher Register Thursday. Hit it. Hit it.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
That there could be.
Higher Register. Take of the week.
All right, Christopher, you're first up. Give me a Higher Register take of the week for week 14. There's a lot to choose from here.
A lot to choose from. And maybe not a sexy game, but I am looking at the road team in this one. Bad loss last week after they were atop of everyone's power rankings. And you know, the Cardinals have been pretty frisky this season. They like to wing it around. And I look at this and I just think, the Rams are totally fine. I mean, there's nothing to see here.
Oh, boy. You went Higher Register on the Rams.
They're totally fine.
They are totally fine. I agree with you,
nothing,
but you're going Higher Register. They're at Arizona. Okay.
Jake Brisket's frisky. Marv is back.
Okay.
Getting a little healthier.
That's Brisket's a fantasy frisky thing right there. What do you got over there, TJ? Just interesting saying that you do that.
Just saying.
A Rams season ticket holder.
Totally fine.
So you're like, whose house?
Rams. Rams house.
Rams. Wow, you don't normally go Higher Register. Normally it's very declarative as to whose house it is. TJ?
All right, guys, so we got a big AFC South matchup this weekend,
yes,
right? We got the 8-4 Jaguars hosting the 8-4 Colts.
Yes.
And, you know, as I'm sitting here looking at stuff, Rich, and just kind of making my opinion and my thought known to you on this,
yeah,
the losing team between the Jags and the Colts, they're going to end up missing the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. They can change
entirely
their name to Saran because it's a wrap. I'm telling you, one of these teams, whoever loses, that's reserve the U-Hauls.
That's a bold
statement.
It's
over.
That's a bold statement. I'm going to go completely out of the realm of sniffing it right now. A team that's trying to get into the sniffing it realm, and they have with a few wins in a row. And they're taking on the Jets. And I know Atlanta couldn't pull off that win in MetLife last week, but the Miami Dolphins really do have a shot at this. They win this one. They've got a game of four to take on the Steelers to get back to 500. Oh, they got Cincinnati and Tampa, and then at New England. So, all right, let me rephrase here.
So they got to win eight games in a row?
No, let me rephrase. The Miami Dolphins really do have a shot at making this close.
I'm right there with
you. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, I know I'm kind of cutting around the edges here, but the Dolphins really do have a shot at making this close.
I mean, if they went out, they're 10-7.
10-7. And the Chiefs are taking on the Texans, and the Steelers could be 6-7.
That's right, they are.
It could be 6-7, hosting 6-7 next week.
6-7. Pretty good.
And now we're really, close. Yeah, could you imagine if it's 6-7 versus 6-7 on Monday Night Football?
My gosh.
Oh, my God. You'll see every ESPN person going like this.
Oh, that jumped the shark.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.